Welcome to the OnFit Podcast.
Welcome, everyone. It's great to be discussing today the Gender Balance Index that OnFit will be launching on the 8th of March, International Women's Day. This is our report looking at gender diversity in financial institutions and public investment and policymaking institutions. I'm Danai Kiriakopoulou, and we'll be discussing this today with Clive Horwood. Clive, welcome.
Thank you, Danai, and welcome everyone to this podcast. We're going to give you a teaser of the results of the Gender Balance Index. And we'll start with our focus on central bank sovereign funds and pension funds. But Danai, maybe you could start by telling us, why do we care about diversity? This is one of OnFit's flagship products and we take it very seriously. Why do we do so?
Thanks, Clive. Yes, diversity is important. I'd say it's important for many reasons, but I'll highlight three. I think one is that gender balance and diversity more broadly enhances decision-making processes. One of my favorite quotes is from Keynes, the famous macroeconomist, saying that it is astonishing what foolish things one can temporarily believe if one thinks too long alone, especially in economics. So having more minds around the table really helps to have more views and represent society and take better decisions. Another reason why we care about diversity is that we make best use of the people that we have in society if we give them the best chances to participate. So we don't want to overlook people in the population. Actually, we find in our index that countries with small populations tend to do well because they have an extra incentive to make best use of the people they have. For example, in Iceland, which is a small country, the deputy governor who wrote in the report this year was saying that it's become a part of Icelandic culture and self-image to have good gender diversity. And the final reason is because we want to have role models. You're not going to have little girls saying, I want to become a central banker when I grow up, if there's no women central banker for them to look up to. And I like what President of the Federal Reserve of San Francisco, Mary Daly, wrote in the report this year, that if young people don't see leaders who look like them at the top, they'll choose another path. And we economists will miss out on that talent. So there's many reasons why we should care about diversity and why this is an important project.
Thanks, Danai. All very important points. And we have some really great contributors to the report this year as well, a number of them. Maybe you could just tell us a little bit more about how the index is compiled and what some of the findings are. We have a unique methodology, which I think really contributes something very, very important to this debate.
Yes, I think we all know that there is an issue with diversity in finance, in central banking, in economics. We don't see the women there. But what we wanted to ask with this research is, okay, we know the numbers are bad, but how bad are they actually? So we said, okay, let's try and collect the data, look at the numbers, because when you put the numbers in front of people, that's when they start to care. So we've created a database of almost 9,000 individuals looking at various types of institutions, looking at over 500 institutions, central banks, sovereign funds, banks, pension funds. And we track at how many women and men are in the top positions. So we look at the top positions, the top 10 to 15 positions, because we think that what happens at the top matters. I mentioned the importance of role models, of having a culture that has gender diversity at the top being important for decision making. So we don't look at all the employees of these institutions, but we look at the top. And so we give each institution a score on how well they do at diversity at the top. That's how the index works.
And what are some of the findings that we're going to see this year? Are there any notable changes from previous years? Maybe we could even say how many banks actually achieve or institutions achieve a perfect balance. It's not many, I don't think, is it?
I'm not going to give away all the findings, but what we do show in the index is how many central banks in the world are headed by women. Do people know that? How many have women in deputy governor positions, for example? How many do not have any women at all in senior positions? Also, what we've done this year is we've also done a survey where we asked the central banks, how are you actually addressing the issue of gender diversity? Do you have any policies to ensure that you interview both men and women for your positions? Do you have a policy to support women that already work for you to help them rise and progress in your institution? Do you have childcare policies that go beyond the legal requirements? Do you have quotas? What are you doing in response to COVID-19? Have you changed your flexible working arrangements, for example? How are you supporting mothers and fathers in childcare? These are some of the questions that we ask. And as you said, we also have central bankers and other policymakers themselves who are writing in the publication and saying what they are doing in their institutions. There are very interesting initiatives going on in Rwanda, in Iceland, in Ghana, in the Seychelles. And we hear it from them. What are they doing? How are they promoting diversity in their institutions? But Clive, let me ask you now, because we've also added another element to the research this year, which is looking at the private sector as well. The index has traditionally, over the past few years, looked at public institutions, the institutions that manage public money or take decisions. But it's important to also see how they compare to the private sector. What have we found there, and why are we including that?
Yeah, thanks, Danai. I mean, we're really excited about this. The methodology that existed can add something important to the debate going on within the commercial banks at the moment. We know that banks around the world have spent years, or in some cases decades, investing in improving their gender balance. They've built HR functions and diversity and inclusion programs and much, much more besides. But what we're finding in this research is the pace of progress is rather glacial. And in some cases, it doesn't match the commitment or the rhetoric of the banks themselves. Now, this is something I've been studying and holding banks to account for many years in my career as a financial journalist. And I think the adoption of the GBI methodology to this industry group will be a game changer. Nothing like this has been done before for the world's biggest private sector banks. Just to give a bit of background, we selected 50 banks to represent a global sample, 20 in Europe, 10 in North America, 10 in Asia, and 10 in the emerging markets. So it is in itself a diverse group. When we reveal the results on March the 8th, I think a lot of people, both inside and outside these banks, will be shocked, surprised, and maybe a little saddened by their performances, and hopefully it will compel them to redouble their efforts. For example, of the 50 banks in our sample, only three had female CEOs when we concluded our research at the end of January. Since then, we know a couple more that are joining their ranks, but if some people think these new appointments are a tipping point, I'd say if it is, it will only be the very beginning of the tipping point.
Yes, you mentioned CEOs, and I like there is an anecdote that talks about how there's more CEOs called John than women in, I don't know if it's the FTSE or the S&P. And there is obviously always a lot of attention when a woman is appointed a CEO of a FTSE company or a bank. But it's also important to look at what's going on beyond the CEO level, because it's also the pipeline of women or diverse groups that may rise to the position of CEO or decision-making levels. What can we see there in our research?
Well, now, Danai, I think this is where our research really starts to get interesting, because we've done a very detailed study of the executive committee levels of banks, and that's more than 700 executives across the 50 banks that we covered. And it does paint a very revealing picture. The EXCO, the executive committee, of course, is where the future leaders will come from. A CEO, you would think, must gain experience of running a P&L of the business. So they're likely to have been heads of consumer banking or commercial banking or investment banking, or at least a CFO or COO, and progress through president and deputy CEO level. And what we found is the banking industry faces two major hurdles in this respect. First, those P&L roles remain dominated by men. Second, an unbalanced proportion of senior women are in administrative or operational roles on the EXCOs. Executive committees have expanded in recent years to include more administrative roles. They're important functions, but let's be honest, they're unlikely to be the future CEO. So this means that the headline numbers on EXCO representation don't reveal the full picture. We'll present that on March the 8th with a lot of other findings relating to board representation, regional variations, and of course some detailed discussion about which banks are doing well and why. And maybe that at that point, Danai, you could just tell us a little bit more about what people who tune into our launch event on March the 8th might expect to hear.
Thanks, Clive. Fascinating about the commercial banks, and we look forward to discussing that. We will be launching the report on the 8th of March. We will have an event with a presentation of the findings. So to find out which country, which institution is doing well, Clive told us about commercial banks, which regions have the central banks that perform the best. And we'll also have a panel discussion with representatives from this community themselves. So we will be joined by Thomas Barking, President of the Richmond Federal Reserve Bank, Margarita Delgado, Deputy Governor of the Banco de España, and Sheila Mujere, Deputy Governor of the Central Bank of Kenya, and also Aniela Ungure-san, Co-Founder of EDGE Certified Foundation and EDGE Strategy, who certify institutions for their gender diversity policies. So we look forward to this discussion, and we hope you can all join us. Thank you very much for listening to us today.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the OnCliff Podcast.